Today's December 14th of the year of our Lord 2008. We're going to do two different things. We're going to take a look at Romans chapter 5 and look at some accounting terms and some balancing acts that the Lord does in there. And then I have a mission and a budget, mission budgets and operating budgets for 2009, that's supposed to say, not 2008. That's next year's budget that I'm going to talk about. So if you want to grab the Bibles out of your pew and look with me at Romans chapter 5. I always hated it when I was in churches and the people that were speaking already had their Bible to that spot so that you know, no matter how fast you went, you couldn't get there by the time they got there. So I decided not to do that to you. So I'm actually looking for Romans chapter 5 beginning at verse 9 as you do. And I'm going to read a significant portion of scriptures here this morning. And here's what I want you to look for as we do that. There's two main points. One of them is there's a significant number of accounting terms that Paul uses in writing this amazing book of Romans to the folks in Rome. And uses accounting terms to help them understand what Christ has accomplished. And then the second half of this is a real balance sheet. When we go through our budget, on one side of the PowerPoint, there'll be last year's budget, and on the other side will be this year's budget. And so you're reconciling these two accounts. And at the end of here is the reconciliation of accounts that Adam and Jesus accomplished. So think of it in accounting terms as I read this, okay? Beginning at verse 9. Since we have been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but also rejoice in the Lord through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. Kind of transliterated that verse 11, but I hope you got the point. Beginning at verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking the command, as Adam did, who was the pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came, the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses had brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through one man, Jesus Christ? Now, if you turn the page. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all, for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man were the many made righteous. The law was added so that trespass might increase. But there was sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace may reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we look at this passage, there's several accounting terms that show up. One of them is we are justified by His blood. So when you justify an account in accounting, what does that mean you do to it? Say again? You balance it out. If you glance at the back of your bulletin, there's a whole bunch of numbers. And they are justified on the left, and theoretically they're justified on the right, so they all line up. And the justification on the left is done by the computer. The justification on the right is done by me with spacing. So if the right is a little goofed up, you can just see that Wilmer did that. And the computer did the other side. But here's the deal. We are justified. We are lined up perfectly if chapter 4 of Romans talks a whole bunch about being saved by faith, not by works. The whole chapter is by faith, by believing in what the one man Jesus did, you can be justified. And justification in theological terms, in my way of thinking about it, means it's just as if I had never sinned. When I accepted the gracious gift, the gift of grace, the gift of Jesus Christ's life, and was saved and was born again, it's just as if I never sinned. Now, I was saying earlier that if I don't mess up real bad, I'll be married to Julie 38 years this Saturday. But I have done a number of sins over the years that I've been married to Jules. And it's a fact. It's the truth. But God has forgiven all of those sins and justified the account. Jules has been very gracious to do the same thing, so that it's just as if I never did it. And that justification is an accounting term. And we need to reconcile our accounts with God, which is one of the other ones. That's, I think it's the last one. But another accounting term is there we are saved from God's wrath. Now, when you think of accounting, you have we have money in the bank here at the church that's in savings. It's in money markets. It's in CDs. But we have savings accounts, right? We also have a checkbook that's in a money market system, so we get interest on that. So we have savings in the bank. And hopefully at your home you have some of those as well. Much of mine has been liquidated in a cancer battle, the war that I'm in on cancer, but once upon a time there was money saved. But a savings. How many are familiar with that in a banking term? It's the same way in relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. When He saved us, He put the money in the bank. It's in there. It's saved up for us. And all it's like the money market we have here. You write the checks out on what's in savings. And every day you take that money and you invest it in life today. You take what He's accredited to your account, what He's saved up for you, what He's put in your account, and you spend that, you invest that in days as it comes through you. His saved life works its way out of you in such a way that you invest what He's done. So there's another accounting term, saved and reconciled. We are reconciled to God. Now, when you're an accountant and you get your books reconciled, what does that mean? They all balance out. Jules does balancing, budgeting around my house, and there's four different accounts. And when she gets all of these different accounts, is it four or three? It's four. When she gets all of those to where they balance perfectly to the penny, she goes, and closes the red book. But sometimes I come down there and she says, well, I can't get the budget to balance with the checkbook. It's 11 cents off. And I'm thinking, just let it go. No. I got to get it all right. You know? Which is really good when it's your accountant. You know, if it's within a buck, close enough for me. Right? But not with Jules. And Jules is more like God. I mean, it's got to be just exactly perfect. And Jesus Christ did that for anyone who would receive the gift. He will reconcile you. He will bring you into perfect balance, perfect unity, not a penny off with God. He will completely reconcile that account. Now, here's the balance sheet. On one side, you have Adam. And the first man, Adam, entered the world, and through his sin, judgment, condemnation, and death were the result. All of us who were born physically into Adam's creation were sinners and on our way to eternal death. So that's where you start out your accounting sheet. We're all born related to Adam in sin. Our identity is sinners. Well, then, on the other side of the balance sheet, you have Jesus Christ, the second creation. The first creation was so messed up, God had to make a new one. He couldn't fix the old one. He had to make a totally new creation. And that's what Jesus Christ does for your life. He makes you a totally new person spiritually from the inside out. Now, eventually, you get a totally new body, too. You just have to, it's kind of like being in the Walmart line this time of year. You just got to wait a little while for it to get here. Right? But you'll eventually, you're going to get to the register. Eventually, you'll get a new body, too. But the eternal life that you have now will go into that body. If you're not saved and born again, the eternal death that you reside will go into another unit that will be able to withstand extreme heat and stress for eternity. And you really don't want to go there. You really want to move the balance sheet over to this right side. All people in the second creation are then saints. And they are on their way to eternal life. They actually experience eternal life right now. So the question is, which side of the balance sheet are you on? Which side are you on? Lastly, salvation is accredited to us by faith. It's not by works. It's not by the good things you do. Credit is another accounting term. It's accredited to you through Jesus. God will credit us righteousness who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. And both of those are quotes out of Romans chapter 4, 1 and 23, 24 and 25. They're again accounting terms Paul's using. So you have this credit. So use your Christ credit card this week. Now then, here's the budget for 2008. And it's on the back of your bulletin. Last year our budget was $82,000 and change. Our income this year is estimated at about $56,000 and change. So, how did that work when we're short over $25,000? How did that budget work out? Well, we used money from the bank. That's what we did. We have a salary subsidy that 3 years ago we went to Rock River Conference and asked for that, this test project of developing a church. And so they gave us enough money for me to get a salary for 3 years. But that runs out in April. So we spent, Julie and I spent $25,000 out of the bank as salary income for this year. And next year that's going to run out in April. So we had to edit our budget for this year. And our budget for the year of 2009 is just about 70. It's 69.9 is the budget for next year. So we cut several thousand dollars out of the budget to make this work because we still expect our income to be around there. Hopefully God's gift will, you know, that'll increase. More people become involved in the church and that we'll have more money to work with. But all the only numbers we could go by is what we got this year. So working on that, it looks like we're going to be short $13,000. How are we going to make that work? Well, again, we'll use money from the bank. In the missions part of our bank account, we have enough money to pay for our missions this year. And the last of the pastor's subsidy is about $11,000. So theoretically, we have money in the bank to make that budget of $69,000 work. Now, when we look at missions, first thing we'll look at missions is our local missions. And in 2008, we budgeted for kids to go to camp, for us to help kids go to camp, $500. Next year, we lowered that to $100, figuring that really if we get more campers than that, it's not going to be hard to come up with a couple gifts to make the kids able to go to camp. Last year, we gave $1,000 to the general fund of Camp Adeline. But in this last year, Adeline received the remnants of the Rock River Conference into their accounts, and so they have several dollars in account. So next year, we're not going to give them any money because they received several hundred thousand dollars this past year. In 2008, we budgeted $500 to do Vacation Bible School, and we did that again for next year. So last year's local missions total was $2,000, and this year we whittled it down to $600. Now, when you look at missions for this next year, it's less than last year. And I want you to think about that. And it kind of bothers me that it's less when I was doing all the numbers. And if it does you too, then we should talk about that and maybe change it. None of this is written in concrete. It's just kind of an idea we put on paper. Our world missions. Last year, Jana Hubler was here just a couple weeks ago, home from Macau, China, and we gave her $2,400. This year, we cut our world missions in half. I told Janet when she was here, I said, well, I got good news and I got not so good news. I said, I got good news. We kept you as a supporter. We're going to support you next year. And I got good news. Right after the first of the year, you're going to get a check for everything you're going to get all year, so you know what you got to work with. Bad news is it's half as much as it was last year. And she said, well, that's great. You know, I can work with that. Now, we did Miriam last year. We gave her 24 this year. The same way, we're cutting that in half. We're giving them $100 a month. Last year, Jamie Fiedler was on our budget. And in the middle of the year, we took on Debbie Case from Victorious Christian Living. And we also give her. Last year, we had Billy and Simbo as one of our missionaries. We decided not to carry on with him and his wife. And it was basically because we gave them money all year and never heard anything back from them. We never got, hey, this is how it's going. Never got one monthly thank you. Never got any acknowledgement at all of what was going on with the investment. And so we figured if we had money invested and we didn't know what interest or what was it was being used for, that maybe we should look at doing something else. And possibly when I communicate that to them, then we'll get information from them. And then, you know, it's basically, we didn't get any word from them, so we didn't do that again. Now, that's kind of awkward because both Deb and Clarence know those guys, and all of us have a heart for what's going on in Sierra Leone. But that's what we decided to do. Anyway, our mission budget went from 84 last year to 36 this year. And so we whittled on that. And then we'll, as we did last year, 3.5% of our income after expenses will be donated to the denomination. And I forgot to ask Lori for a number of that, but, you know, you can figure after the what we give to missions is the only thing that we take off the top, and then the rest of our budget, we give 3% to that. So, missions giving, I wanted us to look at the numbers, whether we're inwardly or outwardly focused. Last year, we were given about 30% of our income to missions. This year, it's obviously less than that. And when remember that 46.8 when we get to the bottom line, and we'll see if it's close to 10%. Here's actually our operating budget, which is on your bulletin. Everything that's in red is a change. What we do for Sunday school materials and what we do for our license, copyright license, we left those the same. Commonwealth Edison, we left the same. And our conferences and seminars, we cut the $2,000 out of there. We have one delegate going to national conference, and it used to be we thought we had enough money to pay for them to go, but now if you go, you get to pay for your own, I guess, because we took that money out of there. We used to pay $200 for garbage, and we figured a way we could get around without doing that, so we're not paying for garbage next year. Flowers and gifts, we cut that in half based on what we spent last year. We think that'll be sufficient. The insurance money, actually, we had to go up from 27 to 29. We had to increase that. Our janitor, we put money in there. We knew we were going to give our janitor a pay increase, and we didn't know exactly how much, but we got that settled over the year. So that's an accurate account then. That actually dropped $400. Gas, obviously, gas prices are up. If we would have bought 2 months from now, it'd probably be a lot less. But we put some more money into that. We went from 15 to 2 grand for our LP gas to maintain our equipment around here. We left that the same amount. That seems to be working. The miscellaneous things that come up in any accounting firm, we took that from a grand down to 500. The mowing, we left the same. Office supplies, we left the same because they seem to be working. The phone bill, we had to jack up a little bit because they've jacked us up. Pulpit supply, we added a little money to that. The preacher's going to go to Texas for a while this winter, so we need a little more money for pulpit supply. Put a couple more $100 in there. Salt for the water softener. The parsonage last year, we spent $10,000 renovating that thing. We figure we'll only spend $1,500 to finish that project out. One of the things we didn't put into this budget, but we're going to have to do, come up with money that's not in the budget, is our drain system in the basement of the church doesn't work right, and we need to tear up the floor and put some new pipes in there, and we have absolutely no idea what that would cost, so we just threw our hands up and said, well, we'll deal with that when it comes. But that's going to be a chunk of change to get that fixed. special events. We left those at 1,000. We used to have a website that we paid $1,000 for. That's the one that's personally hard for me. The guy who runs the website is a really good friend, but we don't have the money to do that this year. And we bought the website thinking people would go on there, find the church, and come to church. But really, in several years, no one's done that. There are people that listen to the messages on there, but no one's really come to church off of the website saying, hey, we found you on the World Wide Web. So we decided not to do that. I'd like to put that back when we can. Youth, we left $500 for the youth to do fun stuff. One of the things we never put on the budget before, but the church had done, is in my contract, you helped me with half of my self-employment tax, and we guessed it to be like that. It didn't show up on the budget last year, but we did it. Pastor's housing is $14,000, and pastor's salary is $25,000. Those stay the same. They told me when it comes April Fool's Day and your contract comes up, don't look for a raise because there isn't any money to do that. They already told me that. Anyway, that's the bottom line on all the line items. In your savings and your CDs, we have $9,000 in missions, which we're going to spend 36 of that out of the bank to pay missions this year. We've got missions money in the bank. We figured rather than taking tithes and offerings to do that, we should take the money that's in the bank and put that out. We also have money for a kitchen fix-up. We have money in memorials. We have money in a salary subsidy. So there's a little over $37,000 in the bank in savings as of our December board meeting. And our checkbook, which is actually a money market, has another $7,000. So there's like $42,000 in the bank. But at least 11 of that we're going to spend out of the salary subsidy. That'll run out in April. And the missions, we're going to spend money out of there this year. But I think that gets you to the bottom of the budget. Now, I put in a slide in here to look at our missions giving. If our missions giving is 46.8 and our budget is supposed to be 69, I forgot to change that number. It's really 69.9. My calculator and Lori's calculator and Julie's calculator didn't line up. That's really 69.9. I've got to change that. It's really about 7% of our budget is what we're given towards missions. And so I'm not really internally liking that. I would like the church to be at a minimum of 10% of our giving going to missions. I actually have the hope and the dream someday that our church is a 50-50 church. That someday, as the Lord allows us the freedom and the ability financially, that we invested as much money in missions as we do to make this thing work in the building. Does that make sense? If we spend $60,000 to make the church work, I'd like to give $60,000 to missions as well. Now, God may not honor that, may not ever give me the opportunity to be that generous and that hilarious at giving, but I really like to get there. And I think that if the church really grows, people come, tithes continue, and we don't spend more money doing what we do, we could do that. Anyway, so talk to the board members. Like you heard, there's going to be a short board meeting right after. If you have problems with any of our missions giving or budget numbers, come talk with us. I think we've whittled it down in most of the operating budget as close as we can. And having a pastor's job, everybody kind of knows how much money you make doing that, which is a little little awkward. It was really kind of hard. Our first board meeting, Don was in Washington, D.C., schmoozing the new president-elect and trying to get him to buy something from him. And we had a meeting, and at the end of it, we realized there wasn't enough money to do everything we did, and we had to cut money, and probably we were going to have to cut money from missionaries. And I got sick to my stomach, and I said, I just can't do that. I can't take money from those guys and give it to me. So canceled the meeting, waited till Don get back till we could make those hard decisions, and it was a lot easier with somebody else to pull the trigger on those hard decisions. But it's a real awkward place for me to be. To get money and missionaries get less is really awkward. But they came to the conclusion that they didn't want me to leave, even though I'm a sick horse running, kind of limping right now. They didn't want me to leave, which was a nice loving thing, but still a little awkward internally. So there's all my honesty out on the table. And I think I'll conclude with that honest thing. Ask the worship teams to come up.